Hello, was that you?
Here, I think I got it. Okay, everybody, it's time for another Springfield interview from Springfield, Massachusetts, home of the Springfield Thunderbirds. The Thunderbirds. Dun, 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 dun. I don't think it's those Thunderbirds. This is actually, these Thunderbirds are actually the AHL hockey team affiliate in Springfield. The Springfield Thunderbirds are a minor professional ice hockey team in the American Hockey League, the AHL. It's in the Eastern Conference, the Atlantic Division, and their home arena is the Mass Mutual Center. And their colors are red, black, blue, white, and gold. That's too many colors for a hockey team. Hockey team colors should be two colors and a crest. Maximum third color is like the Chicago Blackhawks. They're red. Their home thing is red. Their logo is multicolor, but their sweater is red with a white stripe and a black stripe. That's it. Simple. Simple. Hockey jerseys should be simple. Anyways, Springfield, Massachusetts, home of the Springfield Thunderbirds. They actually have a t-shirt here for $10. I'm going to send Shane the Young Gun a t-shirt, a Springfield Thunderbirds t-shirt that costs $10. In celebration of this interview, which is with Tangent Scale Model Guys. The David Liebach of Tangent Scale Models. Really interesting guy to talk to. Very forthcoming with information. They always kind of cringe when I start asking them numbers. How many cars have you produced or how many have you sold? But other than that, he's very, very nice to talk to, fun guy, and I'm looking forward to doing a full interview with him. And he was right in his booth. It was busy. He had a couple of guys helping him, and people were coming along buying his models. Are $44.95. His cars are $44.95. He has some very definite views about the hobby, which I found to be interesting. He handed out orange bags as well. You get an orange bag when you buy at Tangent. Okay, that's it. I think I've talked enough. David Liebach, Tangent Scale Models, Subway Chime, go.
We came here together.
Well, okay, now I'm here with, your name is?
David Liebach.
David Liebach. And do you have any ID? Can you prove it?
No, I don't think I can prove it. I have a driver's license, though.
Okay, all right.
Just in full disclosure there.
All right, so we're in the Tangent freight car booth. Is that what you would call it?
Yes, it's a freight car booth for sure. That's our strong suit. We believe that, the most important part of a train is what's behind the locomotives. I personally love locomotives, but I feel like other brands are doing locomotives well, and we're going to do freight cars equally well. That's our goal here.
And how long have you been doing freight cars?
Well, Tangent has been a going enterprise since the 2007 National Train Show in Detroit.
Okay.
That was our launch date. I personally was involved in helping ExactRail before ExactRail was ExactRail. And I also worked a bit with Proto 2000 and Athern back in the early 2000s and, just kind of helping out on projects, but nothing
right.
big.
Yes, I know Blaine Hatfield from...
There you go.
All right. So, all of us, you were with ExactRail, and then one night you sat bolt upright in bed and went, I want to do it myself.
A little bit. There's more to that story. My ExactRail history goes back before Blaine with the founder of the guy who kind of created it from the
right.
ground up. But yeah, I mean, really it came down to me. I've always been a freight car guy through and through, and I helped, other brands with their freight car projects, and I decided that I really thought I could do it better myself.
Right.
I do a lot of stick build, scratch building type stuff back in the 90s and 2000s, and I just decided that I wanted to do certain cars better than what was out on the market, and that passion has kind of continued now from from then to now being a full-blown entity. So
okay. Is it full-blown? Like, is it a full-time business?
It's a full-time business for two employees that work for Tangent and for me part-time. I still have a day job.
Okay. That's kind of interesting.
It is interesting. You know, part of that reasoning is I want to keep two employees happy. And I have a passion for railroading generally. My day job involves the railroad business, to be honest. So, you know, I do railroading 24/7 for my life.
So what's your day job?
Well, I used to work in Union Pacific in service designs and the service design department and network planning department. So we did things like decide where to add track and how many locomotives were needed against the tonnage forecast. And in service design, I had the Houston and Livonia service units in the southern region generally. So it decided how to move cars across the UP empire. And this is after the service crisis of the 90s.
Right.
And then I got my MBA after that and decided to build a company fictitiously as part of my MBA program. We had to design a company, and I designed a model train company, and that model train company became Tangent.
Oh, cool. Okay, I want to ask you a question now. I really only learned of Moloco just recently.
Okay.
And I was talking to Nick, and I mean, Nick's a great guy, and your company I knew of much more.
Sure.
And I'm fascinated by, I started this podcast about 3 years ago, mm-hmm. just for fun, and it's this has turned into something I never expected.
Sure.
And I'm fascinated by, I think the hobby's growing like crazy. What do you think?
It's a really interesting question. I think growing is a interesting term. I think the better term is maybe developing. So modelers are becoming more specific about what they want in their basement or in their closet. In terms of, I'm doing Penn Central 1976, or I'm doing, you know, Union Pacific from 1980 to 1985. People are kind of honing in on a railroad, a locale, and an era to a certain extent. And that's partially because of companies like, I think, Tangent, honestly, that has introduced cars that are very era-specific. So we'll do a car like this new release we have here at the show, Delaware & Hudson 4750, which also we do a modern repaint version with the paint outs and the conspicuity stripes and that kind of thing.
Right.
And you see that kind of behavior from, like, Athearn with their SD45s that are here at the show, where they're doing modernized SD45s and lease fleets. So
right.
I think, you know, the other brands are doing that same thing where, you know, we're kind of working with a more developed market. And, you know, the dollars are more scarce. And I think, honestly, the number of people isn't growing. And that's the part that's kind of the scary thing.
Yeah.
I think, you know, there's, you know, the market is just getting more specific in what they want. I see it that way.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not the first manufacturer that said that.
Yeah.
But my personal belief is that the internet has brought more people into the hobby. Because, you know, like I have my favorite saying is, you know, 1 minute you're watching Russian car crash videos, and down the side YouTube will suggest, well, maybe you'd like to see a model railroad video. And people will go to that, and all of a sudden, they're like, I didn't know this hobby existed like this.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. Actually, a coworker of mine from my day job was here yesterday who had a friend who had just started in model trains, and he was 55, and he had never had trains as a kid. So
right.
I think there is some of that going on where there are people that are coming to the hobby fresh as something to do, something that's not a video game or, you know, drinking beer or whatever, whatever your pastime is. But, I do think there's some of that. When I say that, and I want to be careful to temper what I said, you know, I think, you know, the hobby isn't dying by any means.
No, no.
But I think it's not accelerating at the pace that, you know, some of the more senior people in our hobby are leaving it. So I think that's kind of the scary part. We're not probably getting the younger people involved.
Right.
Like we should.
Do you notice your sales are going down or up? Or?
My sales Tangent sales have been doing well. We've always been on a growth pattern. We're at 19 cars now. And, you know, one thing I was doing recently for fun is, you know, I'm a student of model railroading. I've always been a Lion-L guy growing up, and I was an HO guy starting about age 7. You know, and I was thinking about the original model die casting. How many tools did they have? How many cars did they produce, you know? Tangent has 19 cars now.
Yeah.
You know, I never envisioned 10 years ago we'd be up to 19 cars this quickly.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the trajectory for Tangent is to accelerate. We're doing more cars per year now. And we're going to continue to be aggressive in this marketplace.
That's where I find it to be. That's what I find the absolute fascinating thing of having done this podcast. I mean, I wrote for Model Railroader for years. And now to be doing this on, you know, on my own, it's like, you know, it's like you're saying on the one hand, well, I don't think it's growing, but the company's going to accelerate and we're going to make more cars. And I'm thinking to myself, well, somebody's buying this stuff.
Well, that comes back to the development comment I made, you know, a couple of minutes ago. I think it's the people that are becoming smarter about what they want are demanding more fine products and that kind of thing. And that's where I think we've been at the front end of that curve.
Yeah.
And that's been the goal of this company, is to continue to be at the front end of that curve in terms of, you know, really high quality graphics on our cars, very high tech computer aided design where, you know, we think through the assembly of the product very carefully. And then, you know, we do really high end artwork. I mean, our lettering is unmatched by anyone in the industry.
And how does that happen? Like, is the car manufactured in China?
Yeah. I mean, like everything else, the cars are manufactured in China. We try to, all of our design work is done here in America.
Okay.
We insist on an American design for almost everything. And the reason for that is because we feel that we know the cars the best. When we see grab irons or, you know, some other dimension on a car, we feel like we know, you know, what those dimensions look like better than anyone else. So, you know, we have a pretty short leash on the development process with our design people. We use different people in America here that know trains.
And how do you decide what car to make? Like that's amazing. How many good freight car companies are there?
Well, you know, I don't want to disparage the other guys in the market.
But you would consider Moloco? Would you consider him a quality?
Sure, absolutely. I think Moloco produces a very high-end product without a doubt.
Okay.
Moloco has a niche. He's looking at, you know, specific kind of boxcars that were out on the rails in certain decades, and he's kind of honing in on those and reusing car components between them as an advantage to his design, whereas Tangent is, you know, doing covered hoppers, we're doing open gons, we're doing tank cars, we're doing box cars, we're hitting all different kinds of cars and in multiple eras. We're the only brand right now that has a plastic RTR car that goes all the way back to 1917. We've got 100 years of span in our product line. And that's been our goal. Like, my goal as a freight car nut is to satisfy everybody in HO.
Yeah, and so how do you decide on which car to do? Like, you must have a list of cars, maybe, or all of a sudden you're driving along, you're driving to work, and you go, hey, what about one of those? I'm going to go check one of those out.
Yeah, so my list of cars is extremely long. It actually outpaces, honestly, what I could probably do in a lifetime. I'm very bullish about certain cars and the longevity and capability of certain cars to sell to the marketplace. Because we sell direct to consumer as well as to stores, you know, we get a lot of interface time with customers, so we hear a lot of things and we see patterns of what people are buying and that kind of thing. So, you know, feel pretty strongly about where we're at and where we're going. But yes, picking a car, to answer that question, because you asked twice, you know, to pick a car is, it's kind of a dart on a wall exercise to a certain extent. You know, we do think about how that dart's going to land very carefully. So,
yeah. So you say you sell direct.
Mm-hmm.
And ScaleTrains.com, Shane told me he thinks his direct sales are about 60-70%.
Yeah, that's about right for us, I would say. You know, direct is a big part of our business. It always has been. But from that Detroit NMRA show in 2007, at that show, there were four or five hobby shops that came up and said, you're going to sell this to us, right? And I said, absolutely.
Right.
I worked at a hobby shop in high school. I am very pro hobby shop. And when I say hobby shop, I mean the guys that are having a retail presence in a town or city with hours, open hours, and you know, a location. I think that those guys are adding something to the hobby that really provides that value that that's needed in this hobby. You know, I mean, I can't stand it when I can't get paint and other things when I'm in the middle of a project. And my town has a Hobby Town USA, and I use it a lot because even though I have easy access to, you know, places where I can get product or I can mail order just like anyone else, there are days where you want paint.
You want it now.
Right. Or you ran out of thinner or something like that. So.
Yeah. So, okay. So are you modeling? Are you doing any modeling as well as the building of the freight cars?
I do build freight cars. I build a lot of cars, my brand and other brands. I do a lot of weathering. But I also am building a layout. I model 1973 Milwaukee Road in specific town of Spokane, Washington, and on the lower level of my layout in Plummer, Idaho, which is on the Milwaukee Road Western Extension main line on the upper level. The lower level is in and built. However, there's a lot of wiring to do right now. It's kind of one of those thankless jobs, as everybody knows out there. But yeah, I'm trying, but you know, tangent eats a lot of my time.
Sure.
And I have two kids, and right now my goals are kind of to get to the layout when I can. Equipment usually comes before layout, and you know, I get to layout occasionally when I get around to it. But
okay, yeah. I'll only ask you two more questions, and then I'll leave you alone. Weathering seems to be becoming just like a huge part of the hobby. Mostly, I think, with the younger, and what by younger, I don't know what I would define that age group as. Like, I think I might argue with you about the hobby growing. Because having been in it for 63 years and of those 58 years, and of those 58 years, every year it was dying, you know. And now with the advent of the internet, I think it's just bringing it full force. And so weathering, it's become this huge part of the hobby. And what's that all about?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Weathering, I think, has become a really big part of the hobby. I go to at least one RPM meet a year, usually the St. Louis one, which is the largest. And that meet is dominated by a bunch of younger guys that hang out together and weather cars right there at the meet and love it. And not all of them are young. There's some older guys too. But yes, the weathering is a big part of the hobby. And cars, I think, are cheap. You know, relatively cheap
right.
Investments to make to practice on weathering. People are more scared to weather the locomotives for obvious reasons because it's more expensive. But yeah, I totally agree with you that weathering is a big part of the hobby and the growth, possibly the growth, one of the growth avenues for the hobby, at least for the higher end part of the hobby and the non, you know, toy train crowd.
Yeah, yeah. Is it hard for people? Do you have a hard time, or does every customer that comes to your table kind of go, yeah, this is what I want, the high quality?
Yeah, not everybody. It's not for everybody. I mean, you know, like, you know, we have plenty of people that come up and ask how much something costs, and you tell them, you know, it's $45, and they walk away. That's definitely the truth. But, you know, when I look at some of the other brands, they're offering more expensive cars now, or equally expensive cars, maybe not street price, but list price. By the time it's down to street price, you know, you've got a car with 20 parts that costs $35. You got a tangent car that's got 100 parts and it costs $45 and it has real KDs and all brass wheels. And it's like, where's the value there?
Yeah.
I honestly think that the value is not with, you know, some of the other brands, and it's with a tangent. And that's kind of our goal here, is to provide, you know, that kind of, you know, a really good product at a reasonable price for what you're getting, you know?
Yeah.
When we started, we were $42.95. We are now $44.95. We have really not raised that price. $2 over the course of the last 10 years is not very much.
That's nothing.
When you look at like how locomotives have gone up, even if you take out the sound components, locomotives have gone up more than that. But yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And one last question. I'll leave you alone. What's the deal with model railroading? Like, I've been in the hobby forever. What is, and I, again, because of the podcast, I believe that the hobby is much more vibrant now than it's ever been. What is the draw of model railroading?
You know, that's an interesting question. I think most of the draw is people's desire, a couple things. I think one of it is a desire just to do something that doesn't involve a computer.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people pine to get off their devices and get off computers these days. And I think that model railroading provides something creative. So it gives you that outlet, whether it's building a layout or weathering a car or something, or even just surfing the web and buying a bunch of stuff to put in your closet for a future layout.
Right.
You know, I think that's kind of a big part of it. I think generally, you know, model trains are just providing something that's not available in other hobbies right now, at least accessible. You know, there's a certain degree of accessibility with model railroading, and I think, you know, we as a business, as a market, and as a total community of model railroaders, we need to find ways to bring more people in and see that it's inclusive and that you know, there's things to do. You know, there's a lot to do, whether you're, you know, building a whole bunch of bar mill structures, or you're weathering freight cars from Tangent or other brand, or you're, you know, or you're just, you know, building a 4x8 layout, you know, it's your first one. I think, you know, there's all kinds of places that the hobby can go. And I think that's another part of the best parts about it. There's different avenues. You know, there's, those weathering guys that come to the St. Louis prototype modeling meet, they don't have layouts.
No.
They have small houses, or they don't want to have a layout, or they have kids and they don't have time, and they just want to build equipment.
Yeah.
You know? That's all they want to do. And some of them are amazing at it.
Where, I know.
Where they take a photo in daylight and you can't tell if you're looking at a model or the real thing.
Yeah, if you put the photograph the model properly, you barely can tell or not tell at all.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah,
exactly. All right, cool.
Well, so, yeah, I'm bullish. I think, you know, the stuff that you did at MR over the years was amazing. I've always been a reader of what you've done, and you know, I'm a sponge. I like to kind of absorb everything that's happening in this business, and I say business, I just mean in the industry. I don't mean it like business only.
Yeah.
I'm a business owner, so I think about it that way.
But the industry.
Yeah, the industry. And you know, I own a model train business, and I am a model rarer, and we're kind of a rare breed. You know, Nick Molo of Moloco is one of the other ones, but a lot of these other companies, you know, aren't necessarily model rarers, and they're in it as a for-profit thing, or they're multiple generations down the stream. And I don't mean to disparage that in any way, but you know, we try to stay really tight to the business. We understand it, and we are what we preach.
I think you can tell the businesses, the people that aren't in the hobby, that are running the businesses, it's kind of like Tangent and Moloco, and these kind of companies are kind of, they've taken that exit and they're going in a whole different direction, and these guys are, they're staying on I-75, and it's kind of like, no, there's a backup up there. There's a wreck. Like, you got to get off the highway and go this other way. And because it's, I don't know if that's a good description, but you can tell. MRC. You know, while they're kind of doing the same kind of things everybody else is, it's kind of that, it's got that old world taste to it. You know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think when you are on a, you know, when you're on that road, yeah, you can go multiple forks. And I think, you know, the way that Tangent is approaching it is we think that, you know, there's multiple places to excel as a provider of products in this hobby, and we see freight cars as our strong suit, and
yeah,
that's where we're at, and that's why we're not doing locomotives. We get asked a lot, why aren't you doing locomotives? And the honest answer is we're doing really well with cars right now, and we're going to stay doing what we do well with. So.
Yeah. So how many cars will you sell at this show, if you don't mind me asking, and don't answer if you don't like that question?
I generally try to keep the business side
sure.
private, but you know, we sell more than 100. You know, we
all
sell
right.
we do sell quite a few cars. If you see here, there's a lot of, you know, when people buy from
Tangent, you got that bag,
show,
you got that orange bag.
Yeah, we have orange bags here at the
and
show.
You see a lot of them going around.
Yeah,
that's a really good
there's
idea.
There's lots of orange bags here. We started that a couple years ago. A couple of the brands have now copied that. We started that as a way for people to take away our cars, and we do provide a discount for people when they buy any 6 of our cars. We give one discount. Any 12, we give a higher discount. Any 24, we give an even bigger discount. So we have a kind of a policy of rewarding people
because right.
we know from our hobby shop experience that, you know, people want a discount. So, you know, we say we recognize that you want that discount, but we want you to put some skin in the game.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how we approach the discount structure. And we usually have about 80 paint schemes at any one time across our 19 products to choose from. So there's
wow.
always lots of things to choose from.
Always lots of things to choose from. All right. So what's your website?
The website is www.tangentscalemodels.com. That's T-A-N-G-E-N-T, like a tangent, which is, you know, a straight tangent piece of railroad. That's kind of how that
okay.
idea came about. People ask that question once in a while. That's kind of how we named the company. So
tangentscalemodels.com.
That's right.
All right. So there you go. I think we've, how'd this go? Do you feel like it went okay?
The interview?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's all right. I've enjoyed talking with you. I always have lots to say. And honestly, I really kind of enjoy, you know, having these conversations because it kind of helps me, you know, think about where we're going even, you know,
yeah.
it's like, what are we doing? Yes.
Well, I would love to have you. We have that. What we do is like twice a month. We have the way I started this was I was on another podcast and all they would talk about was trains. And when I wrote for Model Railroader, my approach when I introduced my column was, you know, not everybody's great at it. So you need a guy in your magazine that says, hey, look what I did while I was gluing my finger to my eyelid.
Right. Right.
And then when they, you know, there was a couple other podcasts, and I just started this for fun because I met a couple people that I wanted to interview, and I wanted to know about them as well as the model railroading.
Right.
You know, and it's the same thing here. It's like it's great to talk to you about the business side because
right.
that's, people are interested in it.
Well, that's why I was trying to make it clear before, you know, like the interesting part about this business is, you know, do you have a layout? You know,
yeah.
how many of the companies that you talk to and interview actually have a layout, and
yeah.
what do you model? specifically?
Yeah.
You know, do you model something specifically? Probably. What is it? And if you don't, then are you walking the walk and talking the talk? And do you really understand your customer at the end of the day? So, you know.
You have to be some sort of a model railroader to make this business work.
I think so. I mean, but there are plenty of examples where that is not the case.
Yeah. I mean, you can use this podcast too. I mean, this works so well because I wrote for Model Railroader for so many years. I've been on Train Masters TV videos a bit. I've been a kid, Model Railroader as a kid.
Sure.
You know, so I mean, I've done it all. And yet through the whole thing, I've met so many fascinating people.
Right.
Where it's like, yeah, it's cool that you're a Model Railroader, but hey, tell me about so-and-so.
Right. Well, yeah, like, I mean, you talked about Model Railroad Hobbyist. You know, I mean, Joe Fugate, who owns that, you know, or started that. You know, he's a legend in with just his layout alone, especially if you're a prototype modeler like I am. That's a great layout, and it was, you know, I know it's going to come down here soon, but, you know, he's a legend, and he's someone that I totally admire. And, you know, there's a lot of people like that in this business that have done things that are interesting. And, you know, it's like those are the kind of people that, you know, I don't know the people behind like Bar Mills, for instance, but that's another fascinating business.
Absolutely.
And I know that's a whole nother hobby on its own. Structure building is a whole different hobby in some ways, similar but different, right?
Yep.
And the Proto 187 Vehicle Club is here. That's a facet of model rariting, but that is not model rariting per se, but it's still trains, right? So, you know, that's I find all that these different pieces of the hobby to be really interesting to me. Beyond the business side, you know, just as a personal interest.
Now we're sitting in your booth and it's surrounded by more than a dozen people. They're all looking at your cars and all wondering, and I'm probably keeping you from making sales.
Probably, but that's all right. I don't mind. You know, they'll come back, and I really enjoy, you know, just having a chance to, you know, talk with someone about this kind of thing.
So where are you based out of?
I live in Asheville, North Carolina, and that's where the company is based. Our distribution center is there.
All right. Okay. Now I'm starting to put two and two together. I'm starting to piece the mystery of model railroading together. Because when I was talking to Nick at Moloco, he says, yeah, I have all my warehousing in Asheville, North Carolina.
Yep.
And you're in Asheville, North Carolina. I got a funny feeling there's some sort of a connection there.
There's a little bit of a connection there on the distribution side only. I should clarify that the two companies are not at all tied in any way other than distribution. Tangent does do the distribution for Moloco, as well as one other brand that has been talking with us about doing distribution. It's just part of our business.
Sure.
We are really good at direct sales and getting things out the door to people in a timely manner. We generally get, you know, we ship two or three times a week. We have a truck pickup, and we ship immediately. So
exactly.
There's no waiting for our product.
So that's pretty cool then. I don't think there's any harm in us saying that you do the distribution for Moloco.
No, not at all. I mean, that's something that, you know, a lot of our customers have sussed out as well. I will say, though, we don't combine shipments between the companies. That's something that is a financial headache as well as an accounting headache. That
Joe Blow in Nebraska orders three Tangent cars and two Moloco cars. They go out in two separate packages.
Yes, that's true. And that rarely happens. We've noticed it happens maybe once in a while, but honestly, neither of us really keep track of that.
Okay.
It's more of a, you know, we pull all the boxes for one brand, ship them, then we pull all the boxes for the other brand and ship them. That's how Tangent approaches that side of the business. You know, I think there's a couple other manufacturers that do it that way as well. We're not the first, so.
Okay, cool. All right, now you must be able to have Skype on your computer.
Yes, I have Skype.
All right, so now you're going to have to commit at some point so I can talk to you for like an hour and a half.
I would love it.
All right.
I would love it. I definitely am in for whatever you want.
Okay, perfect. All right, thank you very much, and it was great fun. We're here at Tangent, TangentScaleModels.com.
TangentScaleModels.com, 828-279-6106, Asheville, North Carolina. Give us a shout. We're an HO Scale freight car vendor.
Okay, that's it. Tangent Scale Models with David Liebach. Really interesting to talk to. His views on the way the hobby is going are interesting. He's definitely not saying it's changed. There's a couple of guys that say that it's not necessarily growing, that it's changing. I don't agree 100%, but I also am quite happy to listen to these fellas because they're in the industry. I just started talking this week, so you'll have to bear with me. They're in the industry, and they do have quite a bit of knowledge about what they're doing. David's been selling cars, freight cars, since 2007. He's only raised the price $2 per car since he started. You can't knock that. And he was selling them like crazy. While I was there, people were buying them.
They were buying them and buying them and buying them. And don't forget, we also learned here today, was the Springfield Indians of the AHL in Springfield, Massachusetts. It's home to the Springfield. I keep calling them the Indians, which sounds like it would make sense. But it's the Springfield Thunderbirds of the AHL. They were founded in 1975. And they were originally the Erie Blades. Then they were the Skipjacks, and the Portland Pirates. And then finally, 2 years ago, they became the Springfield Thunderbirds. They're coached by Gordy Kinnear. Yes, sir, that's Gordy Kinnear is the coach. He's born in 1973 in Simcoe, Ontario, not that far from where I live. And he was drafted 162nd overall in 1992 and played for the New Jersey Devils for like 8 years. So he's a legit guy, this Gordy Kinnear. Maybe we should get him on the show, and then we'll go in a completely different direction. Okay, so don't forget to buy your Thunderbirds t-shirts and gear. Go to our website, amodelerslife.com. Email us at modelerslife, no A, modelerslife@gmail.com. That's modelers with one L, like railroad, not two L's, like Lionel. And if you go to our website, you'll find the links to our Facebook page and our Patreon page. And they tell me I should at least mention and say, hey, get on over to Patreon. If you haven't already signed up, sign up. And if you've signed up at $5, sign up at $10. People tell me I should be saying that. And that's it. Be careful on stop on the way home and get the groceries. Should probably pick up, you know, I'd pick up some salad stuff, some greenery, some iceberg lettuce, some nice field stock tomatoes, some green peppers, cucumber, maybe a red onion, and make you and the missus a little salad tonight. It'll be healthy for you. And, you know, say hi to the kids. And that's it. Okay, I think we're done. Thanks for coming out. Don't take any wooden nickels. And we'll see you next time. And the lights all went down in Massachusetts the day I left, standing on the road, trying to hitch a ride to San Francisco. Got to do the things I got to do, and the lights all went down in Massachusetts.
It's another Lincoln Homer.